Well, good morning, everyone. It's really, really good to see you this morning. We continue our journey through Advent. If you're with us last weekend, you would have heard Jeannie talk so brilliantly about one of the names of Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. We were reflecting last weekend that Advent is a bit of a season of what we might call holy longing, that sense that we're kind of leaning attentively into, expectantly leaning forward to hear the promises that God might have for us. And I guess my great prayer for me, my prayer for you during Advent, is that we won't just kind of endure Advent and get through it, but actually there will be a sense of hush before the hallelujah. Do you know what I mean? That sense of, God, I'm leaning in. I really want to hear your promises. Hallelujah, I've heard those promises shared with me. And my great hope this morning is that we will see that in Jesus, we have a God who enters into a restless world. A God who enters into a world and gives a peace which is eternally more robust than any peace than any one of us could possibly try and manufacture. Now, my guess is if you're like me, you probably try and manufacture peace for yourself by busyness. If I make myself busy, I'll find peace. Maybe you try and manufacture your peace by controlling every single thing you can possibly control in your life. My guess is it probably doesn't work. Maybe you try and find peace in your life by distraction, always looking for the next thing to do to maybe try and keep your calendar nice and full. And during our Advent teaching series, we're looking at some of the different names that are given to Jesus. Last weekend, Emmanuel. This weekend, we're thinking of Jesus, Prince of Peace. And perhaps one of the clearest places where we see Jesus referred to in a prophetic way as the Prince of Peace is in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end," says Isaiah. Now, I wonder if you heard how Jesus was described there. He's described as the Prince of Peace. He's not described as being peaceful, but he's the one who rules with peace at the very, very center of his kingdom. And today, what we're going to do as we continue to wait for Christmas during this Advent series is I want us to reflect on the peace that Jesus brings in four ways. Firstly, to a broken world. Secondly, to our relationship with God. Thirdly, to the storms that we face in life. And then fourthly, the peace that God gives to guide our hearts. You'll probably know well that the story of Jesus as he came as a baby and the angels appeared to the shepherds. And it says this, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then Luke tells us, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace. On earth peace to those upon whom his favor rests.'" So in those prophetic words of Isaiah speaks of peace significantly during a time of political turmoil. He speaks of peace coming at a time when there was military threat surrounding him. Things were really tough. God's people were surrounded by conflict, they were surrounded by corruption, and I guess their lives were somewhat fear-filled. And then we get to Luke's gospel, and I've got to say the circumstances actually aren't that much different. But the angels are very, very quick to proclaim the message that they declare, having heard about the birth of Jesus, or to proclaim the birth of Jesus. "Into the darkness," the angels are saying, "had come a promise, a child who one day would reign with justice, with righteousness, a child whose rule would be marked not by oppression, but by peace." The angel's proclamation, in a sense, is just confirming Isaiah's prophecy. "Glory to God in the highest heaven," they sing, "and on earth peace to those upon whom his favor rests." Now, I wonder if you've ever noticed anything in the Christmas story. Have you ever noticed that the world suddenly didn't become quieter on the night when Jesus was born? Have you ever seen that? Conflict didn't suddenly vanish. Conflict didn't suddenly fade or flee into the distance. And yet Isaiah dared to prophesy. And yet the angels are boldly proclaiming that peace himself, Jesus, had somehow stepped into the world as he came as a baby born in a manger. A peace not of circumstance, but as a peace as presence. A peace rooted not in a situation, but a peace that's rooted in a someone. A peace not shaped by what surrounds us, but a peace that is given to us by the one who is with us, as we were thinking last weekend. On the night when Jesus was born, nothing in the world suggested that peace had arrived. Rome still ruled with an iron fist. Herod, as we know from the story, was still busy scheming violence. I imagine families were still struggling. Empires were still raging. The cries of the oppressed probably still filled the air on the day when Jesus was born. The world did not get quieter on that night. And yet, into that same world, we're told that peace had arrived nonetheless. Not peace as in the absence of any trouble, but peace in the presence of a person. We reminded ourselves some weeks ago, if you were here in another teaching series, that Jesus came not to remove every single storm that we might face in life, but he came to dwell with us even in the midst of those storms. And I want to suggest to us this morning that God's answer to a violent, power-hungry world, I mean, it still is that, isn't it, today? God's answer to a violent, power-hungry world hasn't changed. He still sends Christ, not coercion. He sends a Savior who persuades the heart rather than forces our hand. As God is working out his peace in our world today, he's still offering mercy. He's not offering manipulative might. Don't we see enough of that on the TV from our world leaders? Manipulative might, trying to bring peace. But Jesus brings a grace that mounts hostility rather than escalates hostility. And Jesus, in a sense, still today comes by way of the manger, not as a dictator, not by some kind of authoritarian throne. Humility instead of domination. Vulnerability instead of intimidation. I think some of our world leaders could learn from the example of Jesus. You see, in Jesus, God shows us that real peace is never imposed top down. But real peace, that sense of shalom, enters quietly and tenderly, and it kind of transforms the world from the inside out. Now, my guess is every single one of us longs for peace in the world, just as God's people did back in the day. We long for peace whilst wars rage, whilst division continues to grow. And if you've watched the news, my guess is your anxiety probably grows with every single news article that's on there. But during this Advent season, I want us to hear the Advent hope, an Advent hope that declares that the answer has already come in the person of Jesus. The Prince of Peace continues to advance his kingdom, a kingdom not built on fear, but a kingdom built on the unshakable peace that only he is able to bring. Now, it was a peace that was prophesied by Isaiah. It's a peace that's proclaimed by the angels. It's peace in the presence of a person, way too many P's in that sentence, for all who would welcome him as the Prince of Peace. Peace prophesied, peace proclaimed, peace in the presence of a person who is described as being the Prince of Peace. Jesus is able to bring peace to a broken world. And what you'll notice is that Jesus doesn't bring a peace that kind of stands outside of the mess, aloof, just waiting for the world to somehow be fixed, but he steps into the rubble. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who stands with us in our mess, and he's the Prince of Peace who continues the task of rebuilding what we could never possibly restore on our own. You see, before Jesus brings peace around us, kind of out there, he first brings peace within us in here. Jesus doesn't begin by calming the world outside of us. He begins by calming the turmoil that so many of us feel inwardly. Now, I know from my own life experience that my deepest sense of unrest, my deepest lack of peace, if you like, my greatest sense of dis-ease as I live life flows from my separation from God. Now, the Bible calls it sin. You see, my sin, and I guess is your sin's probably something similar to mine, is my sin stirs within me this kind of quiet war, this conflict that so often is hidden within, that kind of sense of inner discord that I've discovered no amount of self-help or distraction or moral effort can actually resolve. But Jesus has come to do something about that. Now, the Apostle Paul had discovered that to be true. Colossians chapter 1, again, well-known words, verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him," that's in Jesus, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now, and so the text goes on to speak about the great work of Jesus. I wonder if you caught that. What a mind-blowing thought. The one who Isaiah describes as the Prince of Peace, Jesus, reconciles us to God. How he does it at the cost of his own life, Paul is wanting to say to us. He does it at the cost of his own life. You see, Paul's point, I think, is this, is peace is not merely a feeling that we have for a moment. Real peace, real shalom, actually is found only and firstly in a restored relationship with God. Without our relationship being restored to God, we will never truly know the peace that Paul is speaking of, that Isaiah prophesied, that the angels proclaimed. And I think as Paul says all of that in Colossians, he really wants us to feel the weight of it all. Peace did not come cheaply, he's wanting to say. Peace came at great cost. As God sent his son Jesus, he wasn't kind of just overlooking sin. He wasn't just doing some kind of divine holy shrug. Oh, well, we'll do something about it. We'll fix it. Instead, Paul is wanting to say the very fullness of God, choosing to dwell in the person of Jesus, choosing a body, choosing to come in a manger, ultimately growing up to be the sinless Son of God who would die on a cross and who would be resurrected again. All of that happened. Why? So that hostility could be dismantled and our relationship with God could once again be restored. Not for a moment, but forever, for the whole of eternity. And Paul is wanting to say to us, that's how you find real peace. You see, at the center of the universe is a God who doesn't make peace by force, but he makes it by sacrifice. He makes peace not by demanding our blood, but by shedding his own. Now, when you think about the cross, it's not just a symbol of forgiveness. It is that, but it's not just that. It's actually the holy ground where God, through the blood of his son, brought peace to a fractured creation, and in doing so was drawing all people back to himself. Well, what does all of that mean? It means that because of Jesus, the guilt that you and I wrestle with, that guilt that disturbs our conscience, actually can be forgiven. It means the shame that burdens many of our hearts on a daily basis actually can be lifted off us. It means that the distance that exists between God and us because of our sin actually is closed. Jesus didn't come to give you a peaceful moment with God. He came to give you a peaceful standing, a new status. He came to reconcile you, to welcome you, to make you whole and to make you new. And did you notice what Paul says in verse 19? He says, God was pleased to do that. Wow. God was pleased to come and deal with my sin and with your sin. God was pleased to come and draw me back to himself. God was pleased to do all this, it says. God was pleased to send his son in a manger. God was pleased that his son lived the sinless life. God was pleased when his son went to the cross, who died and then rose again. God was pleased to do all of that so that you and I could know real peace. You see, Advent reminds us that in the journey toward peace, it doesn't begin with our striving. Actually, it begins with God's delight, first found in Bethlehem in a manger. And I simply want to ask you this morning, do you know that right relationship with God? Have you trusted Jesus? Because if you're seeking after peace in this world, you are never going to find it, as the Apostle Paul was so keen to underline, unless you first come into relationship with Jesus. Jesus alone makes that possible. Peace with God grows into peace within as the presence of Jesus quiets the storms of our own hearts. You know, after 25, it's closer to 30, nearly 35 years of following Jesus, this has always proven to be true in my life. My life did not become trouble-free on the day I trusted Jesus. But the Prince of Peace has ever-increasing measure has become the anchor that holds me through every single storm that I face. And actually, that's what Jesus promised to his disciples, didn't he? He said, you're going to live in a world full of trouble. You can be sure that you're going to face difficulty in this life. But he promised them that he would give to them his gift of peace. Listen to these words. John chapter 14, verse 23 says this. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and we will make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. This is the best bit. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Well, what does the peace look like that the world gives? Well, it looks pretty fragile, doesn't it? The world gives a peace that depends on stability and predictability and control. Three things that I've discovered, at least in my life, rarely seem to happen at the same time. But Jesus is really keen here to say, look, my peace is different. It's not the absence of struggle. You will have struggle, but it's the presence of the Savior within the struggle that you face. So when that news cycle starts to spike your stress, when the bills are piling up on the kitchen top, when that difficult email arrives late at night, would you hear the promise of Jesus who says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I want to give to you? When the phone call comes with difficult news, when suddenly you realize that there's a space at your table that was empty because of loss, when we walk through seasons of difficulties that we would never imagine, would you hear Jesus say to you, I'm giving you a gift. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. When you look to the future and it feels really blurry and uncertain, when the doctor's results are not what you wanted, when your job is looking shaky, when your relationships are strained, would you hear Jesus say to you, I'm giving you a gift. In fact, I've left a gift and I've given a gift, and it's the gift of my peace. You see, this Advent season, if we're going to use it really, really well, is an invitation to remember again or maybe discover for the first time and receive again the peace that only Jesus can give. Listen to these words. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can you hear Paul speaking of the peace of God, which is this gift that Jesus loves to give? When we come into relationship with Jesus, we can experience a peace. Paul could have said it much more simply. It just doesn't make any sense. My circumstances are tough. I'm facing really difficult circumstances, and I can still know a peace that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I love the language that Paul uses there. He says that the peace of God, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a protective peace. It's a peace that stands like a centurion at your heart. It's a peace that stands like a shield of armor around your mind. And Paul is so keen for the believers there in Colossae, to understand that kind of a peace that can be theirs. It's a kind of peace where God's peace meets a difficulty at the entrance to your heart and your mind, and it says, you can go no further than this because my peace is going to guard you and it's going to protect you. About 30 years ago, I discovered a brilliant visual aid. I wonder whether or not you've come to know the peace of God in your life. You see, for the person who doesn't know Jesus, for the person who doesn't know the peace of God, you're a little bit like a peeled satsuma. We take away that peace. We never accept that peace. We reject it. We think, do you know what? I can do it on my own. I don't need the peace of God around my heart or around my mind. This is what happens. But Isaiah prophesied that the Prince of Peace would come. The angels proclaimed on the birth of Jesus that the Prince of Peace had come. Jesus promised that my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The Apostle Paul spoke about the peace of God, guarding our hearts and guarding our minds a bit like a shield around us. And this is what happens when we come to know and experience the peace of God. Even in the most difficult circumstances of life, we don't sink, we can still float. Why? Because the peace of God is guarding our hearts and our minds. Let me finish this morning by simply asking you, do you know the Prince of Peace? And if you know the Prince of Peace, will you allow him to do a great work around you as you accept the gift of peace that he gives you? Because it will guard your heart and it will guide your mind, not just for a moment, but for the whole of eternity. That's what the Prince of Peace does. And I'm so incredibly grateful. Let's pray together.